The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com. Between the Lines with former Michigan lineman Jack Miller on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.
The Ticket.
Sponsored by Hylent, one of the country's largest privately held insurance brokerages, offering business insurance, personal insurance, and employee benefits services. To learn more, visit hylent.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTK.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side, and Between the Lines. It's been a great season of analysis, great catching up with Jack, and great talking about victories almost every week and putting us in position to talk about a game at the end of the regular season here that is, it's the kind of build-up, the kind of circumstance that not just Michigan and Ohio State fans want to see, but all of college football wants to see. And joining us to talk about that, like he does every Tuesday, is Jack Miller, Between the Lines, brought to you by Hylent. Jack, how are you this morning?
Good, Sam. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Man, I'm excited. Before we talk about plays and before we sort of recap some of the trench play against Maryland, just your mood, your feeling this week, what you remember about preparation for this game and participating in this game, especially as an Ohio guy?
Yeah, it's exciting, right? I mean, I'm trying, here we are on Tuesday, and I'm already, you know, my mind's racing about what this could look like that Saturday, you know, when the game's over. I mean, it's exciting. And this is the reason you go to a Michigan, right? Is to play in games like this late in the year that have this kind of meaning. Yeah, it's exciting. It's always an emotional roller coaster of a week, right? You got Thanksgiving building up, right? And everyone's coming back home and wants to be around. You've had a great season so far. There's so much on the line come Saturday. It's a special week. It's my favorite time of year. And again, this is the reason that you came to Michigan, that you want to be a part of it. A guy like me from Toledo, kind of the epicenter of that rivalry, honestly, there's a lot on the line. You know, there's a lot of bragging rights and pride that comes with this week. So it's special, that's for sure.
So look, I have been going back and forth with Michigan fans the last couple of days, some of whom have already written this game off. Written it off as a loss with a 10-1 football team, a team that I think has the tools to beat this. We've seen Ohio State, we've seen them be beaten, we've seen them be pushed.
Yeah,
and I think Michigan has the tools to do that. So I guess my question to you as a player, you obviously played at a time where Ohio State was heavily favored. Did that ever creep in? Did you ever peek over at them and see how they were doing? And did that ever affect you guys? Does that play with your mind at all?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, you respect who Ohio State is. And I think that for years, both programs have felt that way about one another. I know it's cliche. I know it's a, bit of coaches talk, but, you throw the records out, right? This is going to be a game that, particularly this year, just the way it's kind of shaped out, where it's going to be, an emotionally charged game. I don't think, even when I was playing, and like you said, they were highly favored in most of those games. All of them came down to the wire at the end. A couple of times Ohio State pulled away late in the fourth quarter, but you can throw the records away for this one, and certainly you respect who Ohio State is, and as dominant as they've been over the last couple 20 years basically now, you respect that and you take that into consideration, but it certainly doesn't deter you from the mindset that you can go out and win this ball game. I mean, this is a different Michigan team this year, and this is a different Ohio State team this year, right? I think that it's fair to say that on both sides, and so. It has a feeling this year that's a little bit different than in years past. We'll see if it plays out that way. But no, I don't think you ever take, into consideration what the other team's doing beyond just respecting it and preparing to play against it.
Well, I think Michigan style this year, Jack, for as grating as it has been for fans to see them, for some fans. I mean, for a lot of fans, look, I don't care how you win, long as you win. I don't care how it looks, right? But for there's a contingent of fans who, they'd rather see them spread out. They'd rather see you, use the numbers to your play off of the numbers, whatever they're doing on the other side. Michigan, they're going to run into a loaded box, right? But I actually think that their style this season is conducive to winning, or at least the having the best chance to win, being able to run that rock. And we'll talk a little more about the run game but here shortly. But I'm curious about the styles make fight sort of analogy. Do you feel like that this approach, what kind of chance it gives Michigan, especially when you consider that offense, you want to keep it off the Ohio State offense, you want to keep it off the field as much as possible.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I think the fans who are frustrated out there about that style of play, I can understand to some extent why, because the room, there's not much margin for error when you play that kind of football. You have to be executing at a high level every game. And quite frankly, the majority of the time that you have the ball or you're playing defense, right? There's not a lot of room for error. So I've seen this movie before, right? When you play Ohio State and you feel like you're dominating for the majority of the game and you look up at the scoreboard and it doesn't necessarily reflect that. And they haven't played their game at that point, right? And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, they have that big strike capability. You look up and go, boy, what happened there? We were in charge the majority of this game. You look up at the scoreboard and you're down a couple scores all of a sudden, because they, an offense like that has that big play capability. They can strike quick. They're explosive like that. We haven't really played that flashy style of football. Now, when we've needed to be explosive, we've done it, right? We've put the ball in the air when we've needed to and made it work at the right times. And so, you know, at the end of the day, it's about winning games. And when you're 10-1 and save for one quarter at Michigan State, there's really not a lot you can point to this season to be that frustrated about. Look, you're 10-1 going into the game to basically decide, you know, who's going to have a shot at the playoff here. So you got to like where you're at. And I think in particular, you know, perspective's key, right? Did any of us think we would be here at this point
right,
in the season?
Right.
Let's all, you know, have some perspective on what we thought this season might look like and celebrate the fact that we're in a situation where, you know, November games matter and there's huge implications on the line. That's a good thing.
So running the football, you know, it's the staple for the offense. Michigan has really done well with their interior run game, you know, split zone. You know, they're going to hit you with a lot of counters, right? I mean, we know what their run game has been mostly. But here of late, the last few weeks, Jack, they've been hitting the perimeter a little bit more and in a different way, not just with counters that hit outside or with a pin and pull, but their stretch play has become more prominent. And I thought it was one of their better run plays against Maryland. They had one bad one, so we'll show the bad stretch, and then we'll show one of their good stretches. So we could talk about it because I think this is one of the ways in which they diversified their run game a bit. So let's start off first, Jack, with the bad stretch, and you can sort of talk us through this play about what went wrong on this particular one.
Yeah, sure. So it really all it is a bad play by Zinner here at right guard. And all they do is, so what happens here, you can see in his body language, it's just, you know, a double team up to the linebacker. The problem is that right before the snap, they send motion over to the wide side of the field. And right before the snap, for those who can see, you'll see the safety drop down. So Zinner's eyes immediately when the ball snap, he's looking out to the defensive end, thinking that pressure is coming from the outside. And his double team with the Vestardis up to the linebacker, if they were to bring pressure off the edge, would then turn into, I got to get the defensive end, and we'll let Stuber at right tackle get up to that linebacker there. Unfortunately, when they drop the safety down like that, that doesn't happen. And so when he's looking out to the edge, he's just a second behind, and he gets behind the linebacker who's scraping over the top, who makes a play. It's well blocked by everybody else. If he gets that linebacker, that's probably a touchdown there. It's just being a second slow, just getting caught in quicksand, getting caught in no man's land, thinking, I get what he's thinking, and it's actually would have been a really heads-up play had that blitz come. It doesn't come. He's a second late, misses the linebacker.
Right, and so, again, this is, though, the exception to the rule. The last couple of weeks, they've been doing a really good job with this, Jack. That has been a good play, and I think they ran four stretches in that. If you could flip that, well, I'll get another, get the other play in here, Ira. But four stretches in the game, and I counted three hits. And so
well,
now
all you got to do, you know, in those types of plays too, the way the backfield's playing this year with Hassan and Blake and now Donovan Edwards. All you got to do is just get a hat on a hat, right? And when you get that wide zone going, if you can just get on a guy and not let him get off, the running backs can find seams because there's so much space, right? And there's bodies flying around. They can just sort their way through with great vision, which we know that they have. So the offensive line has done a great job. And particularly, like you were saying, Sam, as the year has gone on, this has become something that they've started to open up, I think, as a tendency breaker. And they found some success with it. And you see that with good teams, right? All of a sudden, this is not something that they intended, I don't think, this season to get into much.
Right.
But things just start to develop. And all of a sudden, it's like, boom, you know, look what we got here. And you know, good teams, that's what happens as the year goes on. You just start to find ways to be successful. This has been an answer for them offensively.
All right. And so here is one of the good stretch plays for them. It'll get to it here shortly. Let me fast forward and get us up here. Let me get out of this play here. But I'll grab the good stretch here shortly. But it's one of those things, Jack, if you can talk us through. We talked about it here a few weeks ago, but it bears repeating because I've seen this come up over and over again. It's like, well, hey, why aren't they just running this stretch play at the beginning of the season? Why don't they just throw it all out there? And I think there's this there's this lack of understanding that it's hard to do everything. I don't know a team out there that just does everything and does everything well. So you as an offensive lineman understand that better than anyone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, defenses are you know, they're trying to dictate what you're allowed to do as well, right? And so when you have all these different, whether it's run or passing plays in your playbook, you have to be able to prepare against them with whatever the defense is throwing at you. So different fronts, different formations, different blitzes. That's a lot of different looks, right? And unless you are able to practice that a lot and understand and get everybody on the same page, no matter what the defense is throwing at you, to feel good that you understand the blocking schemes or even the running back, okay, they're bringing a blitz this way, so this is where the seam should be, all that kind of stuff. It's difficult to do. But like I was saying, you know, this outside stretch play that they've got going now, that's just something that's kind of fallen into their lap, right? It's a tendency breaker that they found a way to in the middle of the season here that they've had success with. Teams playing this counter, you know, power offense that they were running in the beginning of the year, all of a sudden, if you overcommit to something, you're weak in other spots, and Michigan's been able to take advantage of that in this stretch zone late in the season.
All right, here we go. Here is one of the good stretches right here.
Yeah, this is just, you know, out leverage. This is just a good call. This is what you want to run it into. It's cover one. There's one high safety and everybody else is man. So the wide receivers, AJ Henning, who's the inside receiver here, does a great job getting on his guy and not allowing it. But this is exactly where you want to run it into. You got guys pulling or, you know, just running, run to the corner and get there. And the defensive end really is who makes this play or makes it for Michigan. He takes the easy way out, ducks inside, and all of a sudden the right tackle and the right guard are up at the second level blocking guys. You're just out leveraged there. It's a good call from Gattis. This is exactly the type of time you want to run this play. And if you can get a defensive end to take the easy way out like that and create a giant void at the edge of the point of attack, then you're almost always going to have success.
Yeah, man, it was funny because Zach turns around to get a guy.
Yeah, he doesn't know where to go. I mean, like, you know, we go over some of these plays, and I've said it before. Anytime you got linemen at the second level at the point of attack looking around to find extra guys because they don't know where to go, that's usually an indication of good play calling, you know, the right place at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a good sign. You talk about things that you build on heading into Ohio State. We've talked about that from a pass game perspective. The addition of some success with their stretch play gives them some outside versatility. Because like I said, it's not like they have a run outside, but it's how they have run outside has been different. You know, if they decide they want to spill a counter, boom, those hit outside, right? Pin and pulls are going to hit outside. But, this stretch has not been a staple for them, and it feels like it's something that they can go to now. But, you know, I just mentioned the counter. And definitely a staple for Michigan. And they can, you know, it's going to look different at times, Jack. So they ran a counter versus a 4-eye, and you can talk about what that is. But it really shows the versatility, the game within the game, about what your targets are, who gets who on a counter. It's not always the same. This is a perfect example of that, Jack, as I bring this play up here.
Yeah, and like we were talking about before, Sam, right, you're going to get defenses every week that operate different. They line up different. They have different fronts. They like different blitzes. They have different answers to what they think you're going to do. So you have to be prepared for that. This is an example here of a play that, you know, counter is a little bit of Michigan's, you know, bread and butter running the ball, right? So I guarantee in practice last week, they worked a lot against this. They probably knew that Maryland liked to line up this way to try to stop it. So there's a four eye, which just means that the defensive end is on the inside shoulder of the right tackle in this particular instance here. And Stuber does a great job. You can tell that they practiced this play because this is just so well executed. Everyone from the right guard down, it's basically a power concept. They're just trying to push everybody down. Left guard pulls around to kick out that four eye, who Stuber at right tackle does a good job drawing out of the box there. He acts like he's going to block him. The four eye is concerned with Stuber at right tackle and doesn't see the left guard coming over to trap him. And then I can't tell, it's just Eric All who's going to pull up and block the linebacker. Just really well executed, hard to do, right? That's a unique, funky front you don't see a lot of, which means that they did a good job in preparation last week to play against this, and they knew what was going to happen. And you can see Stuber, he kind of fools the guy. He's playing with him a little bit, and he thinks, oh, he's going to block me. Then he gets kicked out, All pulls up on the backer, and then, you know, Hassan just does what he does and all of a sudden gets, you know, an extra, you know, 12 yards by the time he makes contact.
And see, look, you guys want the trenches, right? You want between the lines. This is what you get. And that's a great, great, great breakdown that you just got from a guy that's done it where, Andrew Stuber bluffs that dude. He makes him think he's going to block him, draws him in, and they wind up trapping him. He gets blocked by what is that, Filiaga coming across.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a different look.
And that's experience, right? That's why with offensive line, you know, they always say there's no substitute for experience there. Stuber knows exactly what to do. He's comfortable. He knows that defensive end's not going any, or I'm sorry, the drop, you know, the hang linebacker there. Mm-hmm. So he can kind of toy around with that four eye, get his attention, and then Filiaga comes and blocks him out. He gets over to the drop end, and there's just a big seam there. Vestardis and Zinner do a good job trapping that nose guard up to the linebacker there. Stardust goes back to the defensive end because they're trying to bring pressure from the field there. That's just heads up. That's experienced offensive line play at work there. Guys being really comfortable, knowing what to do, and you can tell the preparation paid off for a play like this.
Man, and give Hassan Haskins credit because number 44 for them, Brandon Jennings, really blows up Eric All's block in the hole. And
you see it there. There's not a lot of daylight. He just keeps working and keeps his legs moving. And just all of a sudden think he's like a pinball in there, right? And all of a sudden people just move around. And if you just keep your legs going and keep trying to get north, you'll find extra yards. That's exactly what he does. That's why Hassan's been so great all season, right? That's an extra, you know, 10 yards after contact. It's not really supposed to end up where it does. He just keeps working.
Right. Great, great stuff from Jack Miller there and great stuff from Hassan Haskins. Like I said, play gets blown up and hold. That guy, Brandon Jennings, was committed to Michigan at one point. And, wound up flipping to Maryland when he felt the coaching uncertainty left his future uncertain. I wonder what he's thinking now. But anyway, let's move on and get to a couple more offensive plays so we can get to a break and then get over to the defensive side, which is going to be, obviously, their stiffest challenge to date is coming up this weekend versus Ohio State. But this very last play that I wanted to get to, Jack, because we like to show the good and the bad. There was way more good than bad in this in the game versus Maryland. But this was a bad scoop. And you can explain what I mean when I say scoop on this play. But, you know, an example of some leakage here that the Wolverines are going to have to avoid against a team like Ohio State. So talk us through this.
Yeah, it's just bad footwork by Zinner at right guard there. I don't really know. I was watching this play, I was trying to figure out maybe if he thought something else was coming or was confused. I can't really tell on this play. I think it's just bad footwork, honestly. I mean, you know, they always say, so this play is designed, this is just a zone left. It's not really true. It's inside zone, right? And you're just trying to get downhill on guys. He does a bad job. Zinner does a bad job there. If he knows it's a double team with Vestardis from center to right guard up to that linebacker, he's got to put himself in a better position with his first step. And he steps under himself and he steps too vertically. And all that that nose guard has to do when Vestardis starts to creep left, because he's got to climb to the linebacker, like you were saying, a scoop block, right? All that nose guard has to do is just duck in on Vestardis' shoulder like he does. And Zinner doesn't take a good angle on him. So he's sitting in the gap right there. And you know, if you're not stout at the point of attack and you're giving up that much, if it's getting that leaky, you almost never have a chance. Now, you'd like to see him just keep, if he's beat like that, just keep working his feet and try to drive the guy out of there. Hopefully your tailback can make a cut and make something happen. But it's just bad footwork, lazy footwork, playing high, not playing downhill enough. Vestardis doesn't do a good enough job getting that nose guard vertical. He kind of leaves him too much to the side. So with bad footwork and too much horizontal movement, you want to get downhill as much as you can on inside zone there. That's just bad. That's just a bad, you know, it's just a bad play, bad scoop block. And like I said, anytime at the point of attack, that guys are getting leaky like that, you almost never have a chance to make something happen.
Yeah, you know, this we saw that a couple of times. And my question to you was, did Vestardis leave too soon here to get up to the linebacker? Was that one of the issues on this play?
I don't think he leaves too soon. I think he's too soft on it. You'd like to mm-hmm. see him get his second step in the ground and get vertical and try to turn that nose guard so that Zinner's got a better shot to get into him and get around him. But no matter what Vestardis probably would have done there, I don't think the block would have worked, because they're late. Zinner's just late with his footwork. He's a little too lazy, a little too slow. The more I watch the play, the more I think that Maryland brought a bunch of unique fronts, right? Mm-hmm. This 4-eye type stuff and bringing field pressures. So a lot of times that will slow an offensive line down, because you're trying to sift through where everybody's going to be, right? So what's a double team all of a sudden pre-snap kind of becomes a triple team as on the fly when there's blitzing coming, right? And it's your guy to get up to. And so you're trying to sift through a lot of where bodies are going to end up. A lot of times that can slow you down as an offensive line, make you a step too slow, make you think a little bit. You're high, you're looking around instead of getting downhill on guys. And I think that's just what happened here.
All right, so we'll get to a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk some defense. Jack, before we get to this break, tell the folks about the Highland Group.
Yeah, Highland Group Insurance, full service insurance brokerage, business insurance, commercial insurance, property, casualty, employee benefits services, personal lines. Anybody out there looking for new options for insurance, wants a second set of eyes on something, Highland.com, HYLANT.com.
All right, we'll get to a break. More Between the Lines with Jack Miller. We're going to go over to the defensive side of the ball. We'll return here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.